Charles Woodson, Desmond Howard, Denard Robinson, Timanga Biakabatuka, from Yost to Harbaugh, passed down from generation to generation, Michigan football has stood the test of time. What's that feeling you get when you catch your first glimpse of the big house? When you hear, "And take the field." When you see the team emerge from the tunnel, sprint across the field, and touch that famed M-Go Blue banner. Saturdays in the fall, tailgates with friends and family, favorite players, favorite teams, and unforgettable moments. A lifetime of memories. College football in 2020 may be unique, but it has arrived at the corner of Stadium and Main, which is where you can find Michael Spath and Justin Rowe sharing their analysis, their stories, and their emotions about this year's Wolverine. This is the Stadium and Main podcast, presented by Kapnick Insurance Group, Wolverine State Brewing Company, and Lewis Jewelers.
Welcome to the Stadium and Main podcast. I am Justin Rowe, joined by my co-host, Michael Spath, and it is March 10th. And Mike, you're not going to believe it, but Michigan basketball is still the outright Big Ten champion, even though some other teams, not to name any names, Illinois, have tried to insert themselves into the conversation.
Justin, I don't know how lame you are, but you're supposed to go, Illinois. You're actually supposed to cough. You're not supposed to say cough. That's like when you read stage directions. And have you ever been on the stage before and someone's like, exit stage left? And you're like, no, you read that's that part. The stage direction. You just do it.
I've never been part of the teleprompter either. It's where you read the entire thing there too. So maybe I need some help there if you can help me out.
Maybe. No, I mean, look, I don't know who tweeted this, but someone put it perfectly yesterday and said, before the season began, every Big Ten team agreed that winning percentage was going to determine the regular season champion in 2021 because of all the circumstances of COVID and all the possibilities that there was going to be an uneven number of games played. Everybody agreed to this. Everybody. Mm-hmm. And then Illinois decided, well, you know what? We're not happy that winning percentage decided who won the Big Ten championship in the year that we beat Michigan. And so we're going to say that we were the Big Ten champions because we won more games than Michigan, even though Michigan didn't get a chance to play as many games as we did. So I don't know. It's all, I'll say this, as a Michigan fan, I soaked up. I enjoyed last Thursday's big win over Michigan State, clinching, securing the Big Ten championship. Celebrated pretty hard on Thursday night and again on Friday. You know, we'll just gloss over the loss to Michigan State because that didn't make me happy. I was pretty frustrated. But here Michigan is going into the Big Ten tournament. They are the one seed. Illinois is the two seed. They play on – both teams play on Friday in the quarterfinals. And as far as I know, Justin, every expectation is that Michigan will raise a banner next year that says that they are the 2021 Big Ten champions. And as far as I know, Illinois will not have a banner that says that they are the Big Ten champions. And Michigan will get a ring, and Michigan will go in the record books of all these things as a Big Ten champion, and the Illini will not.
I agree. And you know what? I loved, there was a little bit of pettiness from the UMich basketball Twitter yesterday. Or maybe it was even today. I can't remember exactly when it went up, but the trophy arrived in the Michigan locker room, and the team celebrated with it and everything. And they said, you know, they put out a couple photos and videos saying, "Hey, look what arrived in our locker room today." So you know what, the Big Ten has recognized it. The Illinois athletic director has inserted himself into it now, writing an open letter about the whole thing, even though as late as I believe it was February 21st, he voted once again to agree to the winning, you know, to crown the champion by winning percentage and not anything else. So He's, you know, whatever. It just all seems ridiculous at this point. It's a whole situation again with, you know, that came out of Indiana and Ohio State with football and all this stuff. And you know what? Michigan's the Big Ten champ. They're going to raise the banner. They deserve it. They, throughout the entire season, they were the best team. I think Illinois is playing really well right now. There's no taking that away from them. But guess what, Mike? When you lose to Michigan State and Rutgers and on and on and on, then I'm sorry, you don't get to be the champ. And the thing that gets me is like, well, if Michigan would have played these other teams, then they could have lost too. Michigan was going to play Indiana. They were going to play Rutgers. They were going to play some of these other teams. Those were the games that they got canceled were cupcake games for Michigan. So I would, I think, you know, from looking at what, how their schedule came out, and you know how their wins happen against every team except for a select few, which were double digit victories, I would have to imagine that those would probably be double digit victories for them as well. So I just think the whole thing is a little ridiculous, and whatever, fuel the fire for Michigan. Let them have a chip on their shoulder going into the Big Ten tournament. I would love to see a rematch with Illinois in the Big Ten tournament championship. That would be awesome, and that would be it would make for must-see TV, honestly, at this point.
Well, Justin, to answer your question, it was actually Penn State, Indiana, and Northwestern, right?
I mean, that's even worse.
The three teams that they avoided. Penn State, 10-13 this season. Indiana, 12-14 this season. Northwestern, 9-14. This season. Those are the three teams that Michigan avoided on their schedule. They also had to make up the Michigan State game, which now looking at it, I mean, if you could have had Michigan State probably separated a little bit, you know, you probably would get up for both games a little bit better. But they would have played Michigan State February 6th is the original day. Do you know what Michigan State was doing at the time? And Michigan State ended up bouncing back. They're probably going to make the NCAA tournament. But at the time that Michigan would have played in the first time, they had lost to Purdue, Rutgers, Ohio State, and Iowa in four straight games. They're in a four-game losing streak. They were had lost.
They lost to Iowa by 30. Previous,
yeah. They lost seven of their previous nine games overall. They were in the worst spot that they were all year. Michigan did drill them once, but Michigan were going out and drilled them. I mean, I have every confidence, especially since like that was when Michigan was playing some of its best basketball, you know, leading into that huge pause. I mean, they were coming off of when they took the pause, they had gone 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 1 in the Big Ten at that point. So I have every confidence that Michigan would have beat Penn State, Northwestern, and Indiana, and they would have finished with 17 wins, one more than Illinois. But again, at the end of the day, what does it matter? Michigan's the conference champions. They're the one seed. Now they face this opportunity. I know we've talked about this. I really want them to get back all the way to the championship game. Originally, I'd wanted them to kind of like win a game and then bow out to rest themselves for the NCAA tournament. Mm-hmm. I still want them to rest. I mean, we don't know the status of Eli Brooks yet, who is in a walking boot at the end of that Michigan State game, you know, in the regular season finale. You know, so it's going to be hard to win the Big Ten tournament if they don't have Eli Brooks, and I want him to be healthy for the NCAA tournament. But damn, like how much would it mean to get a chance to, you beat Michigan State in game one, you go out there, you get a chance to beat either Purdue or Ohio State, then you get to play, you know, maybe Illinois or Iowa in the championship. Like I would love to see Michigan go back to back. They, as far as I know, I don't think Michigan has ever won the Big Ten regular season and Big Ten tournament in the same year. So I'd love to see it happen, get themselves right, put themselves in the best position to be successful when we get to the NCAA tournament here. Not too far away. A week from Friday it starts. And I know that sounds weird because it should be starting on a Thursday. Whatever the NCAA decided to do this weird like Friday through Monday, first two rounds of the tournament, does that make any sense to anybody?
I'm so confused. I have to imagine that Thursday, I mean, I don't know about this for you, but that Thursday to me might as well be a national holiday. It is one of my favorite days of the year because I am about as checked out from work that day as anybody could possibly be. And I think most people would agree with me, even if, and that's saying they're going to work at all. So I think that's just a fun day for most people. And now you turn that into that first day is going to be Friday, and it goes over into Monday, where I can't see that Monday being as exciting as the Sunday would be. And then, you know, it's just weird. I don't see a reason to change it. And I can't imagine viewership is the reason, but you know, in terms of traveling for these teams and all that stuff too, and all that, it just, I don't get it. But I think, you know, if we want to talk about this Big Ten tournament as well, I think the biggest question mark for me is what you mentioned with Eli Brooks. Is Eli Brooks going to be good to go? To me, I would have to say that he probably isn't going to have surgery. Otherwise, we'd know about it right now because he wouldn't be walking around. And so I think that's a good sign. I think that, I don't know, if you're Juwan Howard right now, Mike, and he is not going to be 100% by Friday at 11:30 a.m. when they have to take on either Michigan State or Minnesota, are you playing him, or are you going to say, know what, this is not, you know, Big Ten tournament championship would be nice, but I think we can go at it without him. And the national, you know, a national title is our real goal here. And that's what we want to get it for.
You're 100% resting Eli. If he's not 100% come Friday at 11:30 in the morning, then you are resting him in that game against Michigan State. Now, I really want that win against Michigan State or Maryland. You know, you want to go 2-1 against the Spartans if you play them. You certainly, you know, want to, I don't want to say solidify your spot as the number one seed, because I think Michigan is the number one seed regardless of what happens in their quarterfinal game. But if you win it, you know, you're absolutely locked in as a one seed, and you have a chance to be the number three overall seed. But no, you've got to be playing for the NCAA tournament at this point. Franz Wagner, who also came up limping in that game at the end of it, Eli Brooks. I mean, you have got to have those guys 100% healthy for the entire NCAA tournament. That is what it's all about. And I guess the one piece of good news is, because those games, those first round games, do start on Friday and Saturday, I mean, in theory, Michigan could have a little bit more time for both those guys to get back to good. But I'm looking at the schedule right now, Justin, and yeah, 12 p.m. start on Sunday, March 21st, and it says 12 p.m. start on Monday, March 22nd. And that's just, you know, I cleared out my schedule on Friday to go watch as much basketball as possible. I'm going to have a hard time telling my boss that I can't be there on Monday, March 22nd, right? Like, that's just not going to work. Like, coming off the weekend, you got to get a good start to the week. Again, I don't know why they decided to do it this way.
Yeah, it's a little frustrating. I'm hoping it's like a random COVID thing, and once we have fans back in 2022, hopefully that they bring it back to normal, because I think from a fans travel perspective as well, they're thinking, you know, most fans are thinking the same thing. I can take Thursday or Friday off, but you know, you're not looking at taking the following Monday off. So yeah, I completely agree. I think, you know, there are a lot of fans out there right now looking at the Big Ten tournament and looking at the NCAA tournament. There are a lot of fans, and myself included, to be honest, that are saying, all right, if you would have asked us 2 weeks ago, what are Michigan's chances to win the NCAA tournament, you'd say pretty damn good. And now, you know, with a bad loss to MSU, a bad loss to Illinois, they're not playing their best basketball right now, and the uncertainty with Eli and Franz, as you mentioned, you know, what are your thoughts on the chances of Michigan basketball now going into these tournaments compared to what they were a few weeks ago?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it depends on Eli. I mean, if Eli is not playing in the Big Ten tournament, or is not at 100%, I have a very hard time seeing them even getting to the finals. He's just such a glue player. I mean, now you look at it, he went out, or he missed the Minnesota game, and he missed majority of the Michigan State game, and both of them ended up as losses. So two out of the three losses for Michigan this year have been with Eli Brooks sitting on the bench because of injury. You know, he's a guy that when you have both guards out there, they can move the ball around, create a lot of ball movement on offense, someone else to handle the ball coming up the court, and just kind of put Michigan in the right sets. He's a super smart kid, and he's arguably their best defender. So, I mean, he does so many things well. He doesn't average a ton of points. He's around 7 points per game, but he shoots well from the 3-point land too. And so, you know, when you pass down Hunter Dickinson, he's another guy that he can hit on the outside for a 3-point attempt. And so a lot of it's going to depend on Eli. I think their ceiling without Eli is, you know, kind of Big Ten semifinals, NCAA tournament, Sweet 16, because they would still be going into the NCAA tournament as a one seed or a two seed, but most likely a one seed. They're still going to draw a far, you know, a 1-16 and then a 1-8-9 in the second round. They're still going to be the favorite by big time. But if you don't have Eli Brooks, and here's a good thing. Hopefully, even if he's banged up or hurt, you can get through this Big Ten tournament and you can get through the first two rounds of the NCAA tournament without him. But yeah, without him, the chances of winning the national championship are slim, unless what, Shaunae Brown just really takes off, or Franz takes off, or Zeb Jackson comes in and is a serviceable replacement for Eli. But those are a lot of things, because this team has all been about that word, T-E-A-M, all about the cohesive unit, all about five guys on the floor together and, you know, 12 guys on the team all coming together, all playing their perfect roles. Like, nobody, even though Franz is quasi-superstar, and even though Isaiah Livers is quasi-superstar, and you can throw Hunter Dickinson in that mix, like, no one's really had to be a superstar every single game in and game out, because everybody has played off of each other so well. You remove one piece of that, and it just dramatically impacts everybody.
Yeah, I 100% agree, and I think it you know, it shows. It shows the moment that Franz Wagner and Eli Brooks get off the floor, that they are that important. And it's crazy to think that, because you don't really watch any Michigan basketball game and say, wow, Franz Wagner just really took over this game. You know, I think I look back on a Trey Burke and type of guy. There's no Trey Burke on this team where you've got a guy, you know, he's going to shoot that last shot. But at the same time, these guys are that important. And I think that was really reflected in these the All Big Ten awards as well. There weren't really any standout guys that got a ton of awards. I think they had some great awards, you know, first team and second team type guys. You know, Hunter Dickinson, obviously, on the all-freshman team as well. Livers, Franz, those guys had it. And then, of course, Juwan Howard as Big Ten Coach of the Year. But that was the one thing that stood out to me, was this Michigan's got the best defensive team in the Big Ten, and not one person made the all defensive team. So it was, I would say, yes, some snubs. I think Franz Wagner absolutely deserves to be on that list. But I think what it really means is that this team collectively is that good on defense. And it's not just one or two guys that show out all the time. It's all the pieces that come together. And I think that is really why Juwan Howard has been so successful in just year two here at Michigan, because he's somehow been able to put all those pieces together in exactly the right way, that it works really well when they're all in, you know, when they're all doing their part. So I wanted to give that shout out to Juwan and especially the rest of that coaching staff as well, just for how well they've put together this team throughout this year.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at the awards now, and Hunter Dickinson and Juwan Howard, both very deserving winners of Freshman of the Year and Coach of the Year. I'm kind of surprised, honestly, that, you could have took Eli Brooks. You could have took Shaunae Brown. You could have taken Hunter Dickinson. You could have taken Franz Wagner. Any four of those guys, in fact, all four of them, could have been on the all-defensive team. Mm-hmm. Instead, none of them were, which to me – yeah, there's some oversight here. I mean, the first team, Kofi Coburn, Io DeSunmu from Illinois, Luka Garza, EJ Liddell from Ohio State, Trevion Williams from Purdue. Again, the way that these things get voted on, you have all the members of the media, you have the coaches, and what they do is they look at, like, points, and they look at they really just look at points a lot of times. They look like, oh, who are the top five scorers? Those are the top five guys I'm going to vote for first team All Big Ten. And it's not worth parsing over that much and saying, like, well, Michigan got jobbed here or something like that. They're the Big Ten champion. Juwan was Coach of the Year. Dickinson was Freshman of the Year. Kudos to them all. But to your original point, I mean, it is about this group. And this group is special, and this group needs to be intact. for them to have as high of a ceiling as they do for the post for the NCAA tournament in the postseason. So, Justin, 50% capacity now for our restaurants, bars here in Michigan. And I saw some of these places are starting to gear up and get excited for both the Big Ten tournament and the NCAA tournament. My old stomping grounds, the Pretzel Bell, is going to have 32 televisions dedicated to the NCAA tournament, of course. And then our good friends, Wolverine State Brewing Company, are going to have outdoor space, outdoor TVs that you can watch the game if you don't feel comfortable going indoors. Indoors, I was there last week. We did our podcast from Wolverine State Brewing Company. The way that they have it, you know, the table set up and separated, you can feel really comfortable going in there and having a meal and watching the Michigan game and cheering on the maize and blue during the postseason. Lots of great beer selections at Wolverine State Brewing Company, and check out the entire food menu at wolverinebeer.com. God, Justin, you missed it, man. I mean, we had brisket and gravy, and then we had a ridiculously good huevos rancheros that Nate cooked up for us. So we'll have to go back. It was pretty early in the morning. At one point, Nate was like, hey, do you want a beer? And I'm like, it's 9 o'clock in the morning and it's a Wednesday. Like, I could justify this on a Saturday. I could really get away with it on a Saturday. Like, but I do need to work the rest of the day. I can't, I'm sorry. And he's like, well, what if we give you like the Mexican hot chocolate Wolverine Massacre? It's more like a breakfast drink. And I'm like, does it have 14% alcohol in it? Yes. Okay. Then it's not a breakfast drink.
Yeah. But I mean, hey, that'd make for a hell of a work day. I have to say that. That might be, maybe that's the way we want to start off that Friday of the NCAA tournament. That'd be a great way to do it, honestly.
You know what? Let's talk about it. Let's think about it, because I have cleared my Friday off. I'm not prepared to work from 12 o'clock on the rest of the day on Friday of March Madness. So yeah, we can find some place to go and maybe do our podcast from that location. That would be a lot of fun. So we'll come back to you on that. We'll let you know, but visit wolverinebeer.com for more information. Thanks as always to Nate for all that he does for us. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you to Nate. And you know, if we do decide to do that, we'd love to have some of you listeners join us if you're in the area. So that would be a great time to get together and watch some Michigan hoops. So very, very excited for that. So, all right. Well, that is some great basketball talk, Mike. I love talking hoops right now. It's I'm actually in Richmond, Virginia right now for work on VCU's campus. So I imagine they actually have had some very fun marches here over the years at, you know, with some of those great VCU teams. And I'll tell you what, it's 75 degrees here. The sun is shining. It's feeling like March. It's feeling like basketball season. I'm very excited, but we also have some spring football to talk about and some just football news in general. So, one thing I wanted to ask you first is with how spring football is going on right now in Ann Arbor, back in Ann Arbor and in Michigan, it is about as locked down, locked tight as I've ever remembered. I know obviously COVID, there's no, media attendance and it's all Zoom and things like that, but have you ever seen something like this where there is virtually zero information coming out of spring practice right now?
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's a good question. I think what you've got is you've got this perfect storm of obviously, you know, Jim has always kind of been in this submarine mentality. He, his defensive coordinator, Mike McDonald, and Ward Manuel, have spoken in the media, but they didn't really give anything out. The insiders, I think, are a little bit more tentative. I think Chris Ballas from the Wolverine, I think Sam Webb from the Michigan Insider, I think they're a little bit gun shy because a lot of Michigan fans have turned some of their finger pointing at their insiders for like, hey, you misled us about this team, or you told me that this guy was going to be great and he stunk. And that's always the case every year when guys don't pan out. But when it's coming off a 2-4 season, when it should have been a 3-9 season, you know, there's a lot of frustration and anger towards Michigan football overall. And I think that a lot of people are just kind of like, hey, put it on the field. And all the other stuff is just talk. It's just blah, you know, background noise. And so I get the sense that there's not as heavy of a commitment of like, hey, this guy's looking great. This guy's looking great. This guy's going to be a superstar, because nobody really wants to hear it. They just want to see it. They just want the production to happen on the football field and not in the, you know, on the message boards. That said, I mean, I do think you'll see more of it start to trickle out. I have seen some stuff on the Wolverine.com. I have seen some stuff on the Michigan Insider. So I don't know that it's completely non-existent. I just think that there's a lot more people that have a huge teaspoon or tablespoon of salt every time they're consuming this.
Yeah, I think that is, that's a great way to put it. Definitely. I think that, you know, it's probably not really that much different than a normal spring. But I think it just seems like it just because of everything you just stated, how anything Michigan football that you see out there on social media and everything else, it's all negative. Right. And, and there's so I laugh when I look at the comments that go on, you know, under a Michigan football post or, you know, something that Sam Webb puts out there, or, you know, our friend Brandon Brown, you know, it's just like every single thing is hate and negativity and all that stuff. So, and you know, a lot of it is well-deserved, to be honest. So, it's just something that you have to deal with when you don't have winning seasons on the field. But, you know, it's one of those things where I'm very intrigued at the quarterback situation. I'm very intrigued on this new coaching staff, and I'd love to be able to hear and see a lot about it. And you just can't right now. So I think we'll see a lot more develop over the summer, and especially once we get towards, you know, August. But for right now, a lot of what we're hearing comes from the mouth of Ward Manuel. And we heard Ward Manuel come out the other day with a press conference, and it was 20 minutes of a lot of nothing, I would say, is a good way to put it. And I know Brandon, our friend Brandon Brown on Wolverine Digest, put out an article on it that had some good insight, saying very similar things as to I am. And I know you had some very some thoughts about it as well. So, what is your take on what Ward Manuel said the other day about Jim Harbaugh?
Well, let's do this, Justin. We've got about 20 more minutes on the podcast. Let's break it down quote by quote. And it really comes down to this: when you read this entire conversation, now, I wasn't on the media call. Okay, I would have loved to have been on the media call, just because I would have liked to have followed up with a couple of the comments that Ward Manuel made and asked for more specifics, because frankly, the vagueness of this entire interview is maddening. If you're a Michigan fan and he says, well, our goal is to win and win champions, like, what the blank does that mean? Like, our goal is to win and win championships. Okay, to what degree here, Ward? Because you're 0-6, okay? No Big Ten championships. You're 0-5 against Ohio State. So what does that mean to you? The goal is to win. And have you done that yet? Has Michigan done that in order to earn Jim Harbaugh this contract extension? Like, if your goal is to win and win championships, then you have to admit that essentially Michigan football has failed at both for 6 years. So then why is he getting the contract extension? Let's start with the first one, though, because this whole thing boils down to either Ward Manuel is either a liar or he's an incompetent fool. He's one of the two. He's not trustworthy. He's not telling the truth. Or competent. He doesn't get to be either one of those. He's either a fool, an incompetent fool, or he's a liar. So you tell me which one he is in these situations, Justin. He's asked about signing Harbaugh to a contract extension last year and if he was looking at other coaches. No, I didn't have a backup plan. After the season, we had a great conversation and talked through things, and there was no secondary plan in case, whatever reason, that conversation didn't go well, either from his perspective or my perspective. All right, liar or incompetent? Which one?
I mean, it's hard to say. I think it's a little bit of both. I don't want to, you know, crap down Ward's throat right now, but it's one of those things that, you know, he's not going to be 100% transparent in these press conferences. And we shouldn't expect him to, but we should expect him to somehow own up to what's been going on. Right. And I think that's what really frustrates me, is when he doesn't come out and say, hey, we know that it's been, you know, not up to par. It's when he's coming on and saying these things like, oh, we want to win championships. how are you doing that? You know, what's your plan? And so that's where I'm frustrated. So what is your thought? Incompetent or lying?
I think he's got to be lying, because otherwise it's gross incompetence. You know, in situations like this, I think he wants to solidify that Jim Harbaugh has always been the guy at Michigan. They never, ever thought about anything else. But I don't think, and I've always argued this, if there's anything wrong with saying, look, like, we weren't sure if Jim and it was going to work out, his contract was coming to an end. We weren't sure if, you know, he was going to explore other possibilities. We did do some due diligence, because here's the thing, Justin, 2 years ago, when John Beilein unexpectedly left Michigan, Ward Manuel was completely taken by surprise. He was on vacation, I think in South Africa with a football team. He essentially admitted that he didn't see this coming. Now, they ended up pulling a rabbit out of a hat with Juwan Howard, but he didn't have a backup plan. He never had any plan in place in case John Beilein left. And for a while there, Michigan was scrambling big time, and it looked bad. It was a bad PR move. It was a bad look for Michigan. So you're telling me that he, from 2 years ago when John Beilein, he didn't learn anything from that whatsoever, that he could consider his football coach maybe not being at Michigan? So if he learned nothing from John Beilein, then he's incompetent. And I don't think he's incompetent. So I think he's a liar at this point, because there's no way that he did not pursue. Plus, we've heard that they pursued other opportunities. All right. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, yeah, and I don't think it's crazy to say that, to come out and say you explored other opportunities or you did your due diligence, right, to make sure that everybody was in the best interest of Michigan in the football program and the athletic department. That's okay to say. That's not throwing shade at Jim Harbaugh, because it feels like this, he's playing this game where it's like he doesn't want to say that they were looking elsewhere because it looks like they didn't want Jim Harbaugh, or Jim Harbaugh didn't want Michigan. It's okay to say that you did your due diligence and you thought you took a look after everything that's gone on in the last 6 years and said, hey, I want to make sure that we are putting ourselves in the best position to win here at Michigan. We are not so sure that that's Jim Harbaugh. And so we're going to take a look at everything else. Maybe you don't say you're not sure it's Jim Harbaugh, but you're going to just take a look and evaluate everything that's going on. That's a normal thing for everyone to say. So why not go out and say it? So it's just, I think that the non-transparency and the blah and the BS is that's what's frustrating to you, to myself, and to a lot of people. So that's where we're at.
All right, Justin. So second comment made by Ward Manuel, at least according to this Detroit News article. In addition to yourself, we got a special guest, Brandon Brown of Wolverine Digest, the publisher, is going to weigh in on this. Okay, so he is being asked about the staff, the Jim Harbaugh, the turnover, okay? Hired Mike Hart, hired George Hilo, hired Ron Bellamy, hired Mo Linguist, hired Mike McDonald, promoted Sharon Moore from tight ends coach to offensive coordinator and offensive line coach. All these changes that happened to this Michigan coaching staff, and Ward Manuel was asked about it. I shared my thoughts, and ultimately, as I do with all of my head coaches, I want them to have the ability to bring in the staff that they want. I'm not coaching the team, but I do listen. I do provide input to my coaches when they want to talk about their staff. And here's the part. I think the staff, 100% of the new staff that came in were great additions. I give Jim credit for who he has attracted to be on the staff with us. So talking about the staff and talking about how he thinks it's 100% great additions, is Ward Manuel lying right now, or is he incompetent? Lying or incompetent is the name of this segment on Stadium and Main Podcast. So Justin, what are your thoughts on Ward Manuel's belief that this is a, you know, dynamic home run type of staff that Jim Harbaugh has attracted?
I think that he is lying through his teeth and hoping to God that it works out that way, right? I think that there's a situation here where he has no idea what these guys are going to come, you know, what's going to come out of these guys, which is similar to the Juwan Howard hire, right? That was not a home run hire. That was kind of a Hail Mary a little bit. It was taking a shot, and they're doing the same thing. They're taking a huge shot on a lot of these guys. And so I think that's definitely, you know, how I see it. I don't think he definitely doesn't know that these are our home run hires. None of them are proven, you know, so how could he possibly say that and not be lying?
All right, Brandon, your thoughts on Ward Manuel's approval, home run, 100%. These are great additions to the staff.
Yeah, he's lying. I mean, Justin just said it. There's no way that he can know. He can be optimistic. He can be hopeful. He can be, you know, excited by some of the things we've seen early. I just put a story up about this yesterday, breaking down some of these same comments that Ward Manuel made. And I am actually in the camp of people. I really like when people take chances on young, up-and-coming, you know, thinkers, innovators, you know, the Sean McVay types, the Cliff Kingsbury types. I like when organizations take a, you know, roll the dice a little bit. I just don't know if you can do it with six guys or four guys doing a job for the first time all in one season. Especially when they don't really have like a proven track record. I mean, we, you know, this is one of the funny things about when you make new hires and when we don't really know anything. You read an article about like, well, I talked to a staff member that worked alongside of Mike McDonald with the Ravens for 5 years, and he said amazing things about him. Really? He said good things about the guy? What a shocker. Like, you know, they're not going to go out there and like trash the guy. Like, you're not going to find a bad opinion about people in this type of scenario. So I don't hate the idea. I just think there's too much. I just think there's too much to hope. Mike, you and I talked about this the other day. What did we say? Mm-hmm. Like every situation, every position group, every coaching change is like hopes and prayers. You're just hoping that it works out well. You're hoping that you hit on, you know, one of the new stars in the coaching profession, and you hope that everything that they're supposed to do, they actually know what to do. I don't know if I'd call it lying. I just think that Ward is, he's saying what like every Michigan apologist, every Harbaugh slappy is saying, like, this is awesome. These young guys, all this energy, new stuff, like, cool, but there's a pretty good chance that it also doesn't work out very well.
Yeah. I mean, when, you know, and I agree with you, like the Mo Linguist, Mike McDonald, young guys. I mean, this is, I've always advocated for taking chances on people if you think that they're going to be a superstar. And
exactly,
at least on the recruiting side, like every indication is that Mo Linguist could be a superstar. So that's great news for Michigan fans. But I loved from the Mike McDonald interview last week where he was talking about what type of, he was asked about what type of defense they're going to run. And I mean, he's even in the quotes, he's even saying like, well, we're figuring this out as we go along and the whole thing. Like, you don't want your coach, you don't want your defensive coordinator trying to figure out what type of defense he's going to be run when spring practice is already going on.
Right.
You know, like to me, it's like, I mean, and maybe someone says, well, he's adjusting their personnel. He's trying to figure out like, okay, but you got, I mean, and he does have some idea. He's not clueless, right? Like, he's not like just sitting going like, oh my God, today I learned that we want to run a 4-3 next year. Like, he's not a moron. Okay. I mean, I'm not trying to paint him as that. But his quote leads you to believe that, like, yeah, they're trying to figure this out. Like, they're trying to figure out what type of defense they want. They're trying to figure out who they have. Like, that's a lot to figure out between now and that first game and really that second game against Washington. And I, with all the coaching changes that they have, with the quarterback situation that they have, the offensive line situation that they have, as we talked about the other day, Brandon, like, I just think if you're a Michigan fan, you have got to set your expectations at, like, 8 wins. Maybe 9 wins being the ceiling, but more likely like in that 6 to 8 win range. And if that's the case, this next quote from Ward Manuel is the big one because he got asked, and I'm assuming Brandon, as you were on this call, he got asked about beating Ohio State and winning a championship. And this is what Ward Manuel said: given the contract, obviously I am willing to be patient, but he and I understand that we need to win. This is Michigan. Nobody wants to win more than Jim and football and me overall, which may be true. We want success. Did I put a number to his first year? The answer is no. I want him to move forward and build this and continue to drive us to have success in football. So for me, he has the flexibility. He has the space to continue to drive success here, whether it's with his staff or recruiting. It's not a short-term play for me. And then we'll see how the season plays out and make decisions accordingly. He wants to work. So there's no minimum numbers or maximum numbers. I assume he's talking about like wins, minimums, or whatever like that. And I don't want to interact with my coaches that way. When he was asked a little more specifically about short and long-term goals, he said, win, win. every time we hit the field, our goal is to win. I want for him and I want for our student athletes to win championships in football and every sport that we compete. And that's it. Talk about vague, talk about avoiding the question, talk about answering, like giving nothing that is tangible, because winning, Jim Harbaugh has won at Michigan. He's won 69% of his games at Michigan. Is that good enough, Ward? Is it good enough to be 0-5 against Ohio State? Is it good enough to have never appeared in the Big Ten championship game? What led you to bring Jim Harbaugh back here? And his other part is this, it's not a short-term play for me. Well, tell that to the Michigan fans who have gone 6 years now in the Jim Harbaugh era without a Big Ten championship. Tell that to the Michigan fans that you just asked to renew their season tickets and to bring all this money back into the university and back to Michigan Stadium. Tell that to the Michigan fans who have had to sit here and wait and wait and wait and have watched their team get humiliated by Ohio State in 2018 and 2019. So no short-term play. So does that mean that he has 3 or 4 or 5 years to continue to flounder? Guys, what do you make of this? Liar, incompetent thoughts about this ridiculous quote from Ward Manuel.
Go for it, Brandon.
Oh, boy. I mean, first of all, I don't know if it's like regular practice for an athletic director to say that there's a number. I mean, I would be fine with it. I don't think Ward Manuel would say that in a public setting. But I think if he was like, hey, Jim, you don't win 9 games this year, bro, you're out on your ass. Like, I would be totally fine with him giving him an ultimatum like that. And I think that's, I mean, like, that's about where it needs to be for me. If he doesn't win 9 games, it's another failed season. It's another, what are you doing? Where's the direction? What's happening? Why aren't you any better than this? Because if you break down the schedule, you know, you can kind of figure out where those losses come from. But man, the just being vague, like you said, Mike, I mean, he's winning kind of. So what is that? Like, has what he's done been okay? Apparently it was. He got an extension. It's just talking about being patient and this isn't a short-term play. Like, dude, that's what you say when you hire a new coach. Like, he's been here 6 years already. It's like he just hit a reset button and forgot about what's already happened. It's just really bizarre. I don't know the line of thinking, like you said, Mike. Yeah, he's won 69% of his games, but nothing of any real note, you know, no signature wins, you know, the 500 or less, you know, record against every team in the Big Ten with a pulse and obviously over against Ohio State. It's like, what does he have to win? Then he just has to beat like Illinois and Purdue and Indiana sometimes, because they whooped Michigan last year too. I mean, I don't know, man. It's just this quote about being patient and it being a long-term play, the quote sucks. And the contract says otherwise. So it's just it's just weird all around. I don't really know it's like a mixture of lies and incompetence and delusion. And there's just a lot of weird stuff going on in there.
Yeah. I think that, and you know, I actually don't like, I like that he didn't put a number on. I don't like saying, okay, 9 wins or you're out, because I think there's so much variable in a season that happens. I know that everyone wants to take a look at and say, oh yes, 10 win season is the one thing that shows a successful season. I don't think that's true. I think that you can have a 9-win season if it's to the right team, and you have the losses to good teams, you can still say it's a successful quote unquote season. I think that Michigan's success over the years, how many times have they won 11 games? Really not that often. So what should be the real standard for them? I think that there's a lot of conversation to have around that. What I do agree with you guys on is having him say that he can be patient is just we've been patient. We've all been pretty damn patient, I'd say. Right. And so if he said that in year three after Michigan, you know, lost to Ohio State in a tight one in 2016, should have won it, obviously. And they're still looking up. That's different. But now we're in year seven, and this is so much different of a situation where you can't be patient. There's no way. If you're being patient, then I guess that what's been going on is okay, and it's going to continue to be okay, which is the most frustrating thing for any Michigan fan to hear. So I agree. I hate the quote. It's a no win question. I'll say that. I think that there's no way for him to answer this in a way that most people would be satisfied. But I think that, you know, it's just this, you have to say that you need to win now. And that's the only answer. That is mm-hmm. the way you answer it. And people will be satisfied because Jim knows that. If you think that Jim doesn't know that he needs to win now, then I think we're all like, what are we doing here? Right. Jim freaking knows mm-hmm. that. So Ward, you can come out and say, yeah, I've talked to Jim. He knows that we are looking to win right now. And there's no way to be patient. I think that it's ridiculous for him to say, yes, I'm willing to be patient with a guy that we're paying a ridiculous amount of money, or you were paying a ridiculous amount of money and brought him here to win Big Ten championships and national championships, and he hasn't done it. You have to put the pressure on. And that's where it frustrates me to say, all right, I don't understand, you know, everyone knows where the pressure is and that there should be pressure. So Ward, come out and say that the pressure is here and I'm putting the pressure on, and everyone would be satisfied with that answer.
Absolutely. And what this is, guys, and what you alluded to, this is pussyfooting. Okay. This is just, hey, nobody wants to win more than Jim and I do, but we're not going to talk about what that actually means. We're not going to talk about what failure means. We're not going to talk about what accomplishing anything means. And you know what? If this quote is true, and I have no reason to believe that this part of it is not, nobody wants to win more than Jim in football and me overall, because that is the mentality. That is the bulldog. That is the personality that Jim Harbaugh was hired back in 2015 and every stop along the way. If nobody does want to win worse than Jim Harbaugh, then why do you have to protect him from what real expectations are? You know, you can come out and say, nobody wants to win more than Jim in football and me overall. And guys, look, it's year seven. We understand that. We have not accomplished in the first 6 years, and this past year was very different. We understand that. We understand that there are a lot of issues with COVID that we had as a team, but we understand that we have not accomplished. We haven't won at the highest level. We have not won a championship, and that is the goal here at the University of Michigan. And frankly, we're going into year seven, and Jim and I both understand that at some point here, if we can't accomplish the goals that we have set for this program, if we're not winning championships, if we're not beating Ohio State, then I think both Jim and I understand that maybe this is just maybe not the best fit for whatever reason, and that we need to go in a different direction. Jim gets that because Jim wants to win at the highest level, and Jim's not going to stand in the way of us accomplishing that. And I understand that as an athletic director, that we pride ourselves on leaders and best. We pride ourselves on having more Big Ten championships than anybody else. And if we don't reach those goals, then we need to address why we're not reaching those goals. And I'll tell you, Red Berenson used to tell me all the time, the hockey, great hockey coach, when I'm getting in the way, I'll step aside. And he actually eventually did that. Maybe a year or 2 years later than he should have, but he stepped aside because he said, I was no longer the best guy to run this program and to accomplish, compete for CCHA titles and compete for national championships. And Jim should be able to say the same thing. I'm not the right guy. If they're in year 10 and they haven't done anything yet, you're not the right guy, Jim. And frankly, you're going into year seven and you're 0-5 against Ohio State and you haven't played in Indianapolis. I'm telling you right now, you're not the right guy. You're not pulling a Dabo Swinney in year seven and winning this whole thing like Clemson did, okay? Like, that's not happening in Ann Arbor. You're not the right guy. Ward Manuel should recognize that you're not the right guy, and they should have moved on from here, but they didn't. So at the very least, don't sell us this load of bullshit about how you're going to do like it's not a short-term play, it's a long-term play, and everybody's kind of copacetic with the current status of the program, because that's not true, and your entire fan base doesn't buy that crap.
Brandon, thoughts?
I mean, nail on the head. He hit, you know, that's exactly how I've felt for a while. I mean, me and Mike have been in pretty lockstep with this. I know we've, mm-hmm. you know, alienated ourselves here and there on some social media platforms, and people think we hate Michigan and that we just want the program to burn to the ground. And it couldn't be further from the truth. It could not be further from the truth. But man, dude, it's just it. And I was going to ask Mike, I mean, I know you've been in media a lot longer than I have, but only in one market. I'm just curious, like, and I have friends in other media markets that I've met over the years that I can probably ask, but it just seems like this is so deeply ingrained with Michigan football to answer questions this way, from Ward to Jim to the assistants to the players. Like, and Justin, you can weigh in on this too, because I know you've known some people within the department and around the athletics, the whole athletic department. Like, why is it that they talk to people like this, like we're freaking idiots and we aren't going to be able to see through what's going on and actually think for ourselves? I don't really know where that comes from.
Well, Michigan has always been afraid of its shadow. I don't know why, but they, for a public university, for something that holds themselves up to leaders and best, Michigan is most dishonest. They can never just have a frank, open conversation about what is real and what is not. They have got to protect everybody, hide everything, worry about egos, worry about this and that. I don't understand it. I don't agree with it. This is the big leagues, University of Michigan is. And especially in the revenue sports, especially in football and basketball and hockey, everybody gets that they're getting paid millions of dollars or hundreds of thousands of dollars. Everybody understands what the expectations are here. Just live in reality as opposed to like, we've got to protect every single person. No, you don't. Like, be a big boy, put your big boy pants on. I don't get it. I've never gotten it. And I think it's unique to Michigan. No, but I do think Michigan dials it up to a level that is maybe unprecedented in college athletics.
That's I guess the answer I was curious about right there. I just remember I've many times over the years working for different people and going to different events, you know, like a specific example would be like, hey, we're getting, you know, working for Wolverine Digest under Maven Sports Illustrated. They'd be like, hey, this is a great time. You know, you can put some videos together, just go to practice, get some B-roll, you know, get as much as you can. And I'm like, what? I'm like, no, we haven't seen 1 second of practice since Jim Harbaugh has been there. Like, that's just one specific example. These kinds of answers like this from Ward, from Jim, from different people among the program, the weirdness of being able to see things and letting people in. And it's just strange. It just really is strange.
Yeah. I think too, like if you go back, you know, I was around the football team a lot when Rich Rod and Brady Hoke were here, and it was a lot different. Right. And there were family days that when Rich Rod, we were allowed in Schembechler pretty much whenever we wanted. And, you know, you could come to practices. My uncle would go to practice like on a regular basis, which I didn't think was that. That was not healthy, in my opinion, because you got parents there and stuff like that. But I think it's, you know, to have it go completely opposite. And honestly, the football program right now is completely shut off, not only from the media, but from the rest of the athletic department. And it's a bad look. Yeah.
Here's the thing real quick, Justin, on that. You can do that if you win. You can do that.
Nick Saban can do that. Right?
Yes. You can't do that if you, it's just a bad combination of optics and looks and opinions and approaches when you shut everybody out. Nobody can know, nobody can see, nobody can hear or learn anything. And then also the product on the field is poor, or the, you know, the way that they conduct themselves in many ways is not good. It's bizarre.
And when they don't work well with the rest of the department, that's where it really, you know, it leaves a bad taste in everybody's mouth. It leaves a bad taste in the media's mouth, the rest of the department, the fans, all of it. So that's where I think it's frustrating. And I agree with you. If they were winning, nobody would say a word about it. Everybody would want to get in to hear about why, you know, how it's going so well, why it's going so well. But I think that it's, you know, one of those situations. Now it just looks like they're hiding the truth from everyone.
I don't have any. I mean, I'm a broken record on this.
Mm-hmm.
For whatever reason, Michigan, and it's been passed down from generation to generation because it wasn't as bad underneath Lloyd Carr. It wasn't as bad under Bill Martin. But honestly, starting in like the late 2000s, this last decade plus especially, Michigan has had a defensive mentality all the time. They put up walls all the time. You know, I've heard from a number of journalists who get their FOIA requests rejected. I mean, it's a public university. And when you're a public university, like everything is supposed to be public. Mm-hmm. And yet they, you know, hurdles and obstacles and walls, and they just, and I don't get it. And it's one of the most frustrating things of all my alma mater. I can't stand it. I can't stand it as a member of the media. I can't stand it as a teacher at the University of Michigan. And I tell my students that all the time, that you need to learn from U of M. It's a bad look. It's a bad way. And it looks like you're hiding something. It always looks like you're hiding something and always looks like you have to protect fragile egos. And frankly, that is not what I want my university to be.
Yeah, I think that's something that that needs to be addressed. And I think there's a huge culture change that really needs to happen. And it's not, we all know that's not going to happen under Jim Harbaugh. It would take Jim Harbaugh and probably not Ward Manuel either. And so I unfortunately don't see it changing much here in the near future. So that's a pretty dreary note to leave off on. I think that there is a lot of good coming out of Michigan right now with the basketball team. I think there's a lot of hope for this weekend for the Big Ten tournament and then next weekend, obviously, with the NCAA tournament. So I don't know about you guys, but I am leaving Michigan football out of my headspace right now. I'm 100% in on Michigan basketball, and I am going to be cheering on this team and very excited to watch and have fun and have a few drinks while I enjoy watching Michigan basketball. Maybe not at 11:30 a.m. on Friday, but we'll see. Hopefully they can bring home another Big Ten title. That would be really fun to watch a March run by this team. Everything that Jim Harbaugh is not, Juwan Howard is right now. So he deserves all the praise. And I also, he deserves not to be compared to them because he's done a phenomenal job on his own. And I think he deserves all that praise. So with that being said, we will wrap it up there. You can follow myself at JustinRowe92. You can follow Mike at Michael Spath, ITH. You can follow Brandon.
BSB, BSB underscore Wolverine.
All right. At BSB underscore Wolverine, and check out WolverineDigest.com. We'll have some of our podcasts up on his website, and he's got some great articles with the basketball team and the football team and beyond as well. So check his stuff out on WolverineDigest.com. And lastly, at Stadium Main Pod on Twitter as well. Thank you for listening, and we will see you all next week.
This is the Stadium and Main Podcast, presented by Kapnick Insurance Group, Wolverine State Brewing Company, and Lewis Jewelers.